Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 12? We're talking about the transforming power, of generosity. The transforming power, John chapter 12, the transforming power of generosity. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about generosity in the poor. So look at John chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Now look at verse 8. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. In essence, he was saying that there are going to always be poor people, and you'll always have an opportunity to give to them. So let's talk about generosity in the poor. I looked up some statistics to help us to have a global understanding of the reality of the poor in the world. Listen at this. The World Bank defines extreme poverty as living on less than $1.90 a day. That's U.S. dollars. Now think for a moment. Living on less than $1.90 a day.
There's
some people who live on less than $1.90 a day. More than 1.3 billion people live in extreme poverty. Now, some of these statistics come out a little bit different depending on what report you're looking at. But that's just absolutely almost dumbfounding that there are 1.3 billion people who live on less than $1.90 a day. 1.3 billion people, about 6 to 7 billion people on the planet. More than one half of the world's population, this was almost hard for me to believe, but more than one half of the world's population, so that's anywhere between 3 to 3.5 billion people, more than one half of the world population live on less than $2.50 a day. $2.50 a day. Now minimum wage is what, $7 an hour?
$9.
Okay, so minimum wage is around $9 an hour. $7.50. Average pay per hour is $7.50 minimum wage. And there are the half of the world's population, live on less than $2.50, not an hour a day. Want to put poverty in perspective. One billion children worldwide live in poverty. One billion children. 805 million people worldwide do not have enough food to eat. More than 750 million people lack adequate access to clean drinking water. One-fourth of all humans. One-fourth of what? Live without electricity. No electricity. 71% of the world's population live on less than $10 a day. Now those statistics are staggering. Staggering. And we live, and see, you know, that's what's so amazing to me when people say, well, why we got to talk about money? And why we got to talk about prosperity when half of the world lives in poverty? Half of the world lives in poverty, okay? Let's talk for just a minute about America, the wealthiest country on the planet. The wealthiest country. Want to broaden your concept so when you're believing, understand we're not just talking about you getting your needs met, okay? And so you got enough. Okay, I got enough. I don't need to hear about it. I don't need to hear about it. Well, you think you don't need to hear about it because you consume with yourself. You're thinking yourself. So I want to broaden your understanding so when you start releasing your faith, you're going to have resources flow through you if your perspective is bigger than your household. God is going to be bringing money to you because God cares about the poor. And so when our perspective get outside of our, nothing wrong with believing for your bills to get paid. You should do that. I'm not saying don't believe. I'm not saying don't care. I'm just saying when your perspective get bigger than just your household and your family and how well you're doing, and you get a broader concept, and when you start releasing your faith, you're going to have a lot of money flow through you. Because, see, now you've become big picture minded. You've become kingdom minded. And when God finds people that are kingdom minded, he will channel finances through their hands because he knows that they're going to get finances out to the people who need it and not just themselves. So I want you to broaden your concept. Now, when we talk about America, the richest country in America, in 2015, there were 43 million people. There are over 300 million people in our country. There were 43 million Americans who lived in poverty. 43 million people. You know, the threshold, and you have different reports say different things, but the threshold is somewhere around $24,000 a year for a household of four. People who make $24,000 or less for a household of four are below the poverty line. And so you have 43 million people. That was 2015, just a couple of years ago, who lived in poverty. Now, when you look at it from a racial standpoint, the lowest poverty rate among ethnicity is among whites, which is about 9%. About 9%. But that's a large number of white people who are in poverty because whites make up about 63% of the population. So it ain't just black folk poor. It's a lower percentage. In fact, it's the lowest percentage among ethnicity, 9%. But if 63% of the people, now you taking that 9% over a larger group of people, which means there are a lot of white people who are living in poverty. The next lowest rate is among Asian Americans, and that's poverty rate, and that's about 11%. Hispanics are around 21%, 9 whites, 11 Asian Americans, 21 Hispanics. The highest poverty rate in America is among blacks. And that's about 24%. Now, you have to, when you look at percentage now, and I'm not a statistician and didn't like statistics, really, to be honest with you. Took it, but didn't really like it. But when you look at the statistic, it can sound like, oh, 24%, that's not bad, but you have to understand that we're only 12% of the population. Blacks make up 12% of the population. 12%. 12% of the population. I know we don't feel like it because we all live together, you know what I mean? Feel like it's a bunch of us. But 12%, okay? But the highest poverty rate amongst the races is blacks at 24%. That means a lot of black people are struggling. Okay? Now that rate jumps up really high when you start looking at single female head of households. Single female head of households usually are around 40-some percent, above 40% of single female head of households live in poverty. Above 40%. See, a lot of times when we think of poverty, we think of the homeless, okay? And that's good, and that's what we're doing. But there are a lot of people who are poor, are struggling with poverty, who work every day. Because you got seniors on a fixed income, you got disabled, and then you got folk who are making minimum wage or much above that, so they're working every day. And that's why the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. One of those statistics he said concerning his people, they're working every day and barely making it. So there are many people who are working every day and barely making it. Now, we can talk about love, and we can talk about joy, and we can talk about the rapture. We can talk about the second coming, but there's a lot of people that are struggling with poverty in our country. Children, six and under, black kids, six and under, over 40% of black kids, six and under, live in poverty. In this country, over 40, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? We're not talking about Africa. We're not talking about South America. We're not talking about India. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an America that over 40% of children, six and under, black kids, six and under, live in poverty. In our country. In our country, in the wealthiest country on the planet, living in poverty. It's not the kind of abject poverty like living below $1.90, but when you surround it by wealth, it can be very disheartening because you can see it, but you can't get it. You know, you can see some folk, you know, if everybody poor, you kind of like, we just all in this ship together. You know what I mean? But if you see it, and yet you're consumed by it, it's traumatic. So we're talking about generosity and the poor. Let's look at some scriptures and let's see what God thinks about it. What is God concerned about the poor? Is he concerned about people? Is he really concerned about it? I know the people who don't want to hear about prosperity ain't concerned. But is God concerned about it? Look at Leviticus 19. Let's look at Leviticus 19. And I don't know how far I'm going to get on this, but if I can just expand our thinking a little bit so that when you hear prosperity and when you hear that, you're not just think about getting your bills paid, because if that's all you think about, if your bills are being paid, you're going to think, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to hear that. But if you expand your thinking to see that God is concerned about people, look at Leviticus 19, verse 34. It says, but the stranger, Leviticus 19, verse 34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So here the scripture says, even people that are outside of our circle, okay? He said, I want you to love people outside your circle like you love yourself. Go outside your circle. Don't Christians are called to live beyond our circle. He said, you were like strangers in Egypt and you ain't have nothing, you know. So now you're in the promised land. I want you to be concerned about the people around you. And I think he's saying that to the church. I think he's saying that to us. I think he's saying, okay, be concerned about the people around you. And maybe that's why we've confessed and did all the different things, but maybe our circle was too small. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. And then it says you ask and you receive not because you're asking amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So the scripture teaches that sometimes we can be asking for the wrong thing, but we're asking with the wrong motive. Does that make sense? So if we can just broaden our thinking, look over at Proverbs chapter 19, and let's look at verse 17. Proverbs 19, and let's look at verse 17. So we got to ask ourselves, okay, how is God going to help all these poor people? I mean, how is he going to do it? Is he going to rain money down through the sky? How is God going to help the poor? You know, how is he gonna help the poor? Look at what it says in verse 17. Here's what God says. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to who? Lendeth to who? And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Now notice God says, when you have pity and you share with the poor and you help the poor, he said, I consider it a loan to me. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought about the fact that when you help poor people, when you help people in need, that God consider you making, that he's making a loan with you? And he said, I'm going to keep my debts. He said, I'll pay you back. He said, it's a loan to me. It's a loan to me. Now, so he's bringing himself. He's saying, really, in a way, when you're helping the poor, you're helping me. And he said, I'll pay you back. How many believe God will keep his part of the bargain? Notice what it says. Let's look at this in Proverbs 28:27. Proverbs 28:27. Generosity in the poor. You know, poor people are a good investment. People in need are a good investment. We talk about stocks and bonds and all that. Nothing wrong with that. But how about us start investing in needy people? Let's start seeing that. I think I'm gonna invest over here. I think I'm gonna help this family right here. I think I'm gonna take it on myself, and I'm gonna help this family. It may not sound like it, but I'm teaching you to prosper. Look at what it says in Proverbs 28, and look at verse 27. It says, "He that giveth to the poor shall not Wow, 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 wow. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Now let's don't add no Hebrew, no Greek, no anything to that. Let's just hear God saying, he said, he that giveth to the poor shall not what? He that giveth to the poor what? So the scripture says that if I give to the poor and I understand that investing in the poor is, I make it a part of my lifestyle, then the Bible says I'll never lack. Wow, let's let that soak for a minute. He said that he that giveth to the poor shall never lack. Wow, that's serious. Now, I think we ought to put him to the test on that. But not as a gimmick. Okay, I'm gonna pay for this and see what happens. No. That's not what he that giveth. Not he that gave. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. How many believe the Bible? Okay. Now look at what it says. Look at what it says in Psalms 41. Psalms 41. So if there is evidence of poverty in both our country and around the world, how is God going to help these folk? I mean, how is he going to help them? Sound like he loved them, so how is he going to help them? Look at what it says in verse 1, Psalm 41, and let's look at verse 1 down through 3. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. That's a good promise. Wow, you know, so if I find myself in some trouble, I can start sowing into the poor and believe God to deliver me. You know, isn't it true that sometimes, you know, I've shared this with pastors, so I'm not throwing off on anybody. I promise you I'm not sharing on pastors. I'm not throwing off anybody. But I've shared this with pastors. You know, sometimes we're believing for resources. And we are believing for somebody to give to us. And that's backwards. If we need resources, we should be giving so that somebody else will give to us. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't know if the lady's here. I don't mean any harm, but I'm going to say it. You don't know who it is, so don't write me no letters telling me I shouldn't be talking about folks. I'm teaching. Had a sister came up to me, and she showed me what her prayer, she was standing in line, showed me her prayer request. And she was believing. She was believing because I said that God is raising up kingdom millionaires in our church. Remember me saying that? Well, she was believing for a millionaire, kingdom millionaire, to buy her a car. She showed me her request. I said, you ought to tear that up. I said, tear it up, because God ain't going to answer that. I said, he ain't going to answer that, because that's not what I'm talking. That's the opposite of what I'm talking. I'm not teaching you believe for rich folk to give to you. I'm not saying this to throw off on her, because you don't know who she is. I ain't calling no name. You don't know. I'm sharing to teach you, because sometimes people hear this and they get it wrong. It's wrong. I'm not teaching you to believe for somebody to give you something. I am teaching you that God is your source. You're not supposed to be looking to somebody to give you, and you shouldn't be releasing your faith for somebody to give you something. That somebody then becomes your source. That's totally the opposite. That's why I said tear it up. God don't hear that. He ain't going to hear that. Tear that up. That ain't that. Scratch that out. I said, scratch that out. He ain't going to hear that. That's believing for a man to bless you. You're supposed to be believing for God to bless you. And then you're supposed to be believing, God, help me to be the channel. That's what your faith should be, not faith on somebody else. It's backwards. You should be believing, God, make me the channel. God, give me seed to sow. Now, once I get the seed to sow, now I'm believing for you to bless me. That's how your believing should be. It shouldn't be believing for somebody to bless you. That's why he's not answering the prayers. Because it's not what we're teaching. I believe God to bless me. I don't look for nobody else to bless me. I told Pastor yesterday, I said, man, out of this building was $16 million. Only $200,000 came out of this church, outside of this church. $200,000. So it wasn't like a bunch of millionaires, you know what I mean? And sometimes we even believe in for our spiritual fathers to bless us. I love my spiritual father, and what he blessed me, was that word. That's what I needed. He blessed me with an example. He blessed me with a word. So I had something to go. He didn't give me no money. He didn't bless me with no money. And sometimes we have this whole thing backwards. We're believing for somebody to bless us when we should be believing that we're going to be a blessing. Watch this. And if we change the way we're doing it, believe for seed to sow to be a blessing, then God say, I'll take care of you. He said, he that gives to the poor shall not lack. Well, where's that supply going to come from? From him. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Watch this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Watch this. Shall men give to you. But watch this. It's not you talking to the men. It's you giving. When you giving, God talk to the men. So you don't believe for anybody to bless you. So if that's what you're doing, forget it. Scratch it. Tear it up. Throw it in the wastebasket. Change the way you give it, change the way you believe it, and you're going to have resources coming your way. Because now you're believing to be a channel, not believing to be the blessed. I'm tempted to almost stop right there, but I ain't going to stop. Okay, look at this again, verse 40, chapter 41, verse 1. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Now notice it says this person that considers the poor. He said, all these things I'm going to do for them. He said, I'm going to deliver them out of trouble. He said, I'm going to keep them alive. I'm going to preserve them. He said, I'm going to bless them. He said, I'm going to strengthen them. And if they're on their sickbed, I'm going to be their doctor on their sickbed. There are a lot of blessings connected to supporting the poor. I just believe when we get our believing right, when we make the switch, I promise you on the authority of God's word, you're going to have a greater flow of resources come your way if you make a little shift in your believing now, and start emphasizing you be the channel. If you make that shift, God, help me to be the channel. Help me to be a blesser. Help me. Then you'll start seeing a greater flow of resources coming to you because now you want to be a blesser. And you're not just believing to be blessed. Does that make sense to you? Okay. The word consider there in verse 1 implies giving of careful thought to a person's situation. It is greater than perfunctionary support. It is the use of practical wisdom and planning to bring the poor to self-sufficiency. Perfunctionary simply means that you're doing it as a routine. You ain't thinking about it. But the Bible says the people who are really concerned about the poor and the situation that they're in, he said that all these promises. Now, turn over to Psalms 112. We talked about this. We've talked about this, but I want to reiterate it. Psalms 112. Now, you know what's going to happen to you? I'm going to keep talking to you. You know what's going to happen? Say what? You're gonna start setting up giving accounts. You're gonna start setting up what? I have a giving account. I have a give. Now I got the other things. I ain't saying throw your other things away. Your savings and all other different, I ain't saying throw that away. But I said, once you really get the revelation of it, you're going to be believing for money to give. Yeah. So when needs come up, when situations come up, see, I'm believing for money to put in my giving account. So when a need pop up, then I could just write a check out of my giving account. Now, what's going to happen to you, once you get beyond just your bills and you start believing for resources, where you're going to be a channel of blessings when folks start having needs, and you don't have to even pray about it. They'll show up. The Spirit of God is going to start bringing them your way, and then you'll just start writing out of your giving account. You'll stop saying, I wish I could help you. Let me pray for you. Once you get what I'm teaching, and it's going to be the most rewarding feeling you're going to ever have to know that you got an account. That you know whenever somebody got a need, and that's what I'm believing for right now. I'm believing for money for my giving account. So that I'll be ready to help people. You'll never lack. Now look at what it says in Psalms 112. You getting anything out of this? Look at Psalms 112. Look at Psalms 112 and look at verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in what? In what? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arise the light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. And his righteousness endures forever. And his horn shall be exalted with honor. Now notice this man that got wealth and riches in his house. Notice he disperses to the poor. He disperses to the poor. And then the Bible says his horn, his life shall be exalted. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look again at the purpose, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look at the purpose of this abundance. Let's look at this purpose for this abundance that we've been talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How many of you believe in for abundance? Sure, you should be. You should be. You should be believing for more than enough. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and notice what it says in verse 14. Oh, well, let's go back up. Let's go back up to verse 12. Let's go back up to verse 12. 2 Corinthians. For if we're going to work to 14, the operative verse is 14. For there, if there be first, or what kind of mind? A willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath and not according to that he hath not. Now look what he says. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burden. In other words, God don't want you paying somebody else's bills and your bills go unpaid. See that? The whole concept is not designed for you to lack. God said you're not going to lack. Now look what it says in verse 14. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their. Your supply, your abundance may be a what? Now I want you to look at that. Their abundance, your abundance may be what? Now we gave you a list of the poor in America, the poor around the world, and the scripture says God wants your abundance to be a supply for their want. Which tells me God is not pouring money down. Okay, Lord, you bless them. Lord, help them. Help them. No, 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 no. He wants our abundance to be a supply. Amen. He wants what?
Our abundance to be a supply.
Now, you got to get the concept. If you don't get this concept down, then you're going to be operating in worldly prosperity. Because there are two kinds of prosperity. There's kingdom prosperity, and then there's worldly prosperity. Kingdom prosperity understands that my abundance is to be a supply for others' wants. That word wants means needs. In other words, it means not just what a person wants in life, but it means when I have an abundance, God will show me others who have a need, and he wants my supply to supply the need. That's how he's going to do it. So now if we're just struggling from payday to payday, we're not going to have a supply. Does that make sense to you? And if we don't have, watch this, listen carefully to me. If we don't have an abundance, God doesn't have a supply. Okay. My God shall supply. But here he says that our abundance is to be the supply. So God is going to supply through our abundance. So if we don't have an abundance, then God doesn't have a supply. Because his supply is our abundance. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9. And then we'll close out by looking at the Good Samaritan. We'll close out there by looking at the Good Samaritan. You getting anything out of this? Am I talking to the right crowd?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work, as it is written. where? Psalms 112. He that hath dispersed abroad, and he hath given to the poor. So here God uses our abundance to supply the needs of the poor. That's why every Christian should be believing for abundance. Because he's going to use our abundance to supply the needs of the poor. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
Now let's look at Luke chapter 10. You won't have to turn anymore. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. You won't have to turn anymore. Now this is building my faith. Is it building yours? It's building my faith. Because at one time in my life, all I believed for was God to meet my needs. I mean, that's where most people start when they hear prosperity.
Amen.
My goodness, man, I can believe God to get all my needs met. And so that's that low level. That's great. Everybody start on that low level. You know, God, speak to somebody to bless me. Speak to somebody to bless me. You know, and then it dawned on me, and I said this years ago, I'd be Santa Claus. Think about it. Santa Claus never came down our chimney. Oh, I don't mess up nobody. It may be some little kids here. Y'all still got that going. I don't want to mess. Oh, Lord, I already said it. I don't mean no harm. Parents, don't get mad at me. I ain't mean no harm. I wasn't thinking. I know. I wasn't thinking. But for the adults here, I have always been Santa Claus. I have always been it. So it dawned on me, rather than me believing for somebody else to help me, a higher level is make me the channel. Okay? If you're going to use somebody to bless somebody, I want to be the one. I want you to use me. Now that's a higher level of believing. And it's funny, I don't have any unmet needs. Now, I want more, you know what I mean. I want more, you know what I mean. But I don't ever believe anymore for a bill being paid. Because that's all I used to believe for.
Yeah.
It's my bills getting paid. God began to show me there's another level that you can get in where you're not just believing there. If you'll start believing to help somebody else, then you'll look around and all of it'll be paid. But when your focus is on you all the time, all the time, all the time, bless me, help me, bless me, help me, bless me, help me, help me, help me. That's why sometimes it's trickling in, okay? And you can do it even though you don't have a lot, because I decided this before I even had a lot. You can make this decision, okay, I'm going to be a channel of blessing. And you don't have to have a lot of money to make that decision, but I'm just telling you, if we keep going down the same track, we're going to get the same results. And there's a higher level of believing than just believing for myself all the time. Do I sound hard? Do I sound insensitive? Because I don't mean to be, because I know people challenge. I know people. There are people even in our church challenge. I know that. But I'm just trying to get you to another place so that I think God will help you get there quicker if you understand the kingdom. And that lady that came up, she didn't understand. I knew she did not. She was just as sweet as she wanted to be, just as beautiful, just as godly, godly person. She didn't get it. She didn't understand it. And so that's what I'm trying to challenge you. Let's look at this and we'll close here. You got Luke chapter 10? Okay, where are we, y'all? Okay, verse, where are we? Okay, verse 25. Let's look at verse 25 through 32, and let's look at the complacency of the comfortable religious people. Verse 25 down to verse 32. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, say priest, that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by what? So the complacency of the comfortable religious people. The priests and the Levites were religious officers who were charged, watch this, with helping the needy. Along with their other duties, Levites were distributors of the alms to the poor. The priests and the Levites had biblical knowledge, understood ethical principles, but lacked compassion. I said that again. The priests and the Levites had biblical what? Knowledge. Understood ethical principles, but lacked compassion. They were content with attending religious service, having titles, and performing religious duties. They didn't see the connection between what they did at church and what they should have done in the community for people. Now, before we read the rest of the parable, we do not want to be religious, and we do not want there to be a disconnect between what we're teaching and doing in church and how we impact our world. That world may be your neighbor, your neighborhood. That world may be your family outside of you. That world may be work or whatever, your community, okay? We don't want to be religious and have a lot of Bible knowledge and make confessions, and yet we have no, it doesn't translate into our experience. So those verses represent the complacency of the comfortable religious. Now, let's look at verse 33 through 37, and let's look at the example of the truly generous. Truly generous, Luke 10, and now let's look at verse 32. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now let's look at the outworking of compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Now Jesus says, Which now these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou what? Now let's look at this truly generous person. Number one, this guy risked his own safety because it's obvious that it was a dangerous area. The guy that was wounded had fell among robbers, which means the robbers could still be around. So it was risky. He risked his own safety. He moved outside of his own comfort zone. This was a person of a different race, a person of a different social standing. He changed his schedule. He did what? He changed his schedule. He got dirty and bloody through personal involvement, didn't he? Because he had to handle that guy, and he got a little dirt on him, right? Then he became a friend and an advocate. The man couldn't stand for himself, so he stood up for him. He helped him. Then he provided emergency medical care. Poured in oil and wine, bound up his wounds, and then he provided transportation. Yeah. I don't know if I can pick him up now. I can give him a dollar or two, but I can't be picking up nobody, bringing nobody to church. Okay. We're going to get there. I know it's inconvenient, isn't it? Now everybody getting quiet on me. It is inconvenient. It is inconvenient. Picking up folk, bringing them to church. But what if God is trying to get a new automobile to us? No, just think. Just think for a minute. Just think spiritually. What if God is trying to get a new automobile to us? And maybe if I sow this seed, transportation, and God said, I won't lack, maybe there's a new automobile and me helping that person with transportation. Because he did say, if I would consider the poor, he did say he would preserve me from trouble. And he did say that he would pay me back. Wonder how many opportunities we miss. We're believing for this. We release our faith, and then God brings ground to us where we can sow a seed. And sometimes we miss it because we think in this way. And God said, okay, I hear you. You want a new car? And then somebody come along. I can't get to church. You ain't got the car you want because you believing for a new car. Then somebody come along and say, boy, I sure wish I could get, I ain't got no transportation to get to church. Y'all got anybody that can pick us up? Well, no, we ain't got no buses out there. We ain't got no bus system. And then we go back to believing. I believe I got my new car. God, I believe I got my new car. I believe I received my new car. Thank you, Jesus, for my new car. Thank you, Lord, for my new car. And then God brings somebody else along. And they say, you know, I sure wish I could get to church. I just ain't, I can't get to church. Wish somebody can pick me up. Well, we ain't got no bus system. I've been praying for Pastor Mike them to get a bus system down there and get some kind of transportation to help them. And then, Lord, I believe I receive. Thank God for my new car. I believe I got a new car. Now, that's just one illustration. That's just one illustration. I promise you, whenever you're believing for something, remember this for the rest of your life. God is going to show you where you can sow your seed to get it. Amen. And it's not going to come just by your prayer. You're going to pray and he's going to say, yes, I heard you. And then somewhere, somehow, a need going to come. And you got to start recognizing the need, because that's where your seed is going to bring the need being met. That's how it works. Does that make sense to anybody? He financially subsidized temporary housing for him. Went to the hotel, so I went to take care of him. I want to stay there. And he paid for him, and then he followed up. Said, when I get back, I'm going to check and see how everything's going. Now, when you look at all these different things from risking his safety, moving outside his comfort zone, changing his schedule, getting dirty and bloody, becoming an advocate and a friend, providing emergency medical care, providing transportation, financial subsidies, following up. You say, well, it doesn't take all that, but that's what generosity is. It's doing more than what is expected. It's practical illustration that moves us beyond just Bible study. If we don't take this beyond Bible study, then we're just going to be religious and just quote scriptures. Get anything out of this? What you thinking? Got to get over there and get my lunch. What are you thinking? Okay, what you think? Tell me what you're thinking right now. What you thinking? You thinking about the giving account. What are you thinking? What do you think? Okay, what did God say to you? Come on, just take 2 minutes. What did he say? What stood out? Give me soul, seed to sow. Somebody else? Did you think anything else? Sow what I have in my hand. That's what you heard? Okay. For me to recognize the opportunities. You know what I heard, the Spirit saying is that generosity is not convenient. Yeah. It's not going to be, to truly be a generous person, it's not going to always fit our schedule. It's not going to always fit. It's going to require some discomfort and some inconvenience on our part. That's what I heard. That if I'm going to walk this out, it's going to be sometimes where, you know, and believe it or not, I'll be there too sometime. Like, do I want to do this? You know, do I really want to do this? And then I've done things, and I said, wow, thank you. I wasn't always there emotionally, but I did it. And then after, I said, wow, I see what you were doing. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to do it and for the opportunity to use me to do it. And thank you for allowing me to be in the position where I could do it, because I could remember so many days where naturally, all I could do was pray for a person. Love you.